I'm Tony Cox, and this is News and Notes. For some, the military is simply a means to an end, a chance to leave a small town, learn new skills, and get money for college. For others, it's a lifelong career. Today, we continue our series on African Americans in the military with a look at whether joining the military is a good way to improve your economic status. Staff Sergeant Dramiel Byers has been in the Army for 13 years. He is also a world champion Greco-Roman wrestler and member of the Army's world-class athlete program. Yvonne Laddie teaches journalism at New York University. She is the author of In Conflict and We Were There, Voices of African-American Veterans from World War II to the War in Iraq. And George Brumell, he is a Vietnam veteran. On June 6, 1966, a landmine took his sight and the use of his left hand. His memoir is called Shades of Darkness. Welcome to all three of you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yvonne, I'm going to start with you because you've spoken with hundreds of military persons for your two books. Historically, has military life improved the economic prospects of African Americans?
Yes, it has. There's no doubt that the GI Bill can lead to housing, can lead to an education. The military has worked in that sense in terms of making things better for those who join, especially if you have a purpose. If you say, I'm going to join because I want to get a college education, or I'm going to join because I want to, you know, improve the status of where I live and my life. But with the recent war in Iraq, you know, there's been a flip side to that.
You have
it's a little bit more. Yeah, it's a little bit more difficult for returning Iraq war veterans in some cases, as it was for Vietnam. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that war in particular, you have interviewed veterans from a number of conflicts, Iraq war, going all the way back to World War II. Have their reasons for enlisting changed from war to war or over time?
No, they're pretty much the same, except if you, you know, with Vietnam, the draft was a big reason why a lot of African Americans served. But it's pretty much the same thing. It's looking for a way out of the inner city, or to get an education, or to travel, or to get out of my small town. The reasons are pretty much the same. It's just the circumstances and the different wars, you know, and how African Americans are treated in each war is what has changed the most dramatically.
You mentioned the GI Bill. I know in my dad's case, for example, he was in the Navy, and the GI Bill was his way of getting a house, the house that I grew up in, as a matter of fact. And for others, it's a way of getting an education. But today, in today's dollars, the GI Bill's not going to get you a house anymore, is it?
No, it's not. And if you're coming home from Iraq or Afghanistan and you have post-traumatic stress, or you're an amputee, or you have so many of the issues that these returning vets are facing, you know, dealing with the GI Bill is the least of your concerns. You're trying to get someone to recognize the fact you even have post-traumatic stress. You're trying to find a job. You're trying to deal with the wife you've seen for 3 months in the last 4 years. You know, it's so many other issues that the things that the Army, that the military used to provide that you would get just for serving, they seem to sort of be on the back burner these days.
Dramiel, let me bring you into the conversation. Yesterday on the show, we talked about the declining number of African Americans who are enlisting in the military. Briefly tell us when and why you decided to join the Army. And don't forget to include this story about your grandfather. I hear that's a great story.
Well, I was at North Carolina A&T State University. I was a prop there, and I had some home problems. You know, my mother needed help, and I needed to step up and do what you're supposed to do, take care of moms. And I looked at the Army, you know, and I come from a strong military family. You know, my grandfather served, all my uncles. And, you know, I remember the day the college recruiter came to the house, and it was, he opened the door. He's like, yeah, can I help you? And he's like, I'm the coach from North Carolina A&T State University. I would like to speak with Dramiel about coming to play football for us. He just left the guy at the door and he walked away. Dramiel, somebody's at the door for you. And I invite the guy in. But when that Army recruiter came, it was, Dramiel, come on in the house, sir. You need anything? You need some coffee? You know, and it was, you know, and I took that lesson as that's what he really wanted me to do. And later he spoke with me about it. But after I joined, you know, to help out at home, you know, things happened for me that is nothing but a blessing. You know, I got stationed in Fort Lewis, Washington. There was a wrestling tournament, and I'd given up my scholarship, and I felt like a failure. I went to this wrestling tournament. I vented on these poor guys. and all the right people saw it. The athletic director knew the coach of the Army wrestling program, and one of the officials that was reffing the tournament knew the coach. And they, without consulting with each other, they called him. So he got two calls about me in the same night from two people, and he in turn called my company commander, who just so happened to be a four-time high school state champion. Mm. So that deal was set in stone without me even knowing about it that night. And I can't say it enough, you know, God having a plan. You know, I found a new life in the Army. You know, my dream was to play football and you know, go to the NFL and, you know, get me a degree while I was doing it and all these things. But I joined a family, you know, and there hasn't been a time since I joined that I regretted it. And the life I'm living now, I'm pursuing an Olympic gold medal, and it's great.
Now, you said something I was going to pursue with you anyway about your whether or not you regretted it, because you said that first, you know, you took out your anger on the people that you were competing against because you really wanted to go into football and get into the NFL. At some point, though, it changed for you and where the Army seemed to be the very right thing for you. When was that and what happened to cause that?
The reason it hurts so bad is, you know, when PT and all these other things, I'm a big guy and every day, it seemed as though someone was saying, man, you're big, you're fast, you should be playing football. So they were reminding me what I had walked away from. You know, I mean, I didn't mind making that sacrifice. I initially enlisted for 2 years. I figured I would get back to it, you know, and I spoke with the coaches at A&T, and it, you know, Coach Bill Hayes, like, I respect what you're doing. You can come back when you want, you know. And so I thought I was going to go back. I really did, but I still felt like as though I postponed my, you know, something important to me, you know, but I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. But, you know, the lesson, and, you know, I was making a sacrifice for Mom, you know, and my grandfather used to always tell me that, you know, if you sacrifice for anything, even if it doesn't work out the way you plan, the greater lesson in that is knowing that you can sacrifice for something good. Hmm. And that's what I got from it.
Well, George, let me bring George into the conversation as well, because, George, you've recently written a memoir about your life. It's called Shades of Darkness, about your time in Vietnam. Briefly tell us about where you grew up and why you joined the military.
Yes, not just a memoir, but a great memoir. And it's about growing up in the rural Eastern Shore of Maryland. Segregated Eastern Shore of Maryland, and into the military, Korea, Vietnam, blindness, and back. And I went into the military for a couple of reasons, one of which was I got into some pretty serious trouble on the Eastern Shore of Maryland and felt like I needed to leave Dodge. And also, my brother went into the military, and he only stayed for 8 months. My grandmother, whom I lived with, was able to get him out of the military on a hardship discharge. And I thought then, well, military cannot be that difficult. So I felt like I needed to go in and show them that I could handle the military. And I loved it.
Now, you went into Vietnam at a time, you went into what was at that time one of the most unpopular wars in the history of this country, and you were injured severely and came back. How did you come out of that experience where so many other Vietnam-era veterans felt unappreciated because of the demonstrations and such that were taking place in this country during that time? A, how did you feel about your commitment to the service, and at what point did you decide for yourself that this was the best thing I could have done for me?
Well, I was really committed to the military. I liked the discipline that it instilled in me. When I got out of the military, I was somewhat buffered from all the activities about the war that was going on because I went to the hospital. And while I was in the hospital, I received a great deal of support. Support from my former wife, support from friends and doctors all around me. And I felt like I just needed to give something back. And I thought if I was able to survive this traumatic experience that I had, I would definitely give something back. And that sort of set the road or the pavement for me to go into the University of Akron, then finding a job with the Blinded Veterans Association, retiring as their National Field Service Director, and doing some of the things that I'm doing now, to include going into school system. I've somewhat set a mandate for myself to assist with the problems that school systems are having with especially our African Americans' reading levels. And I think that I can help to encourage young people to read and write.
Well, Yvonne, listening to George's story, how common is it in terms of the stories and interviews that you have done in your extensive research? Is this pretty much where other folks are, or is George the exception?
Well, one of the most interesting things to me in writing the books was how positive most African Americans were about their experiences in the military and the brotherhood and the camaraderie and how many of them would do it again if they could. You know, the military in some ways gets like a bad rap from people who are not in the military, but those who serve seem to really respect what they do, respect the soldiers who serve around them, and really seem to get something out of it. The problem really is us at home, and when the soldiers come home and us not giving them the respect and the admiration they deserve because a war is unpopular, because we may not agree with why a war is even taking place. A lot of Americans, and African Americans included, have a tendency to sort of like either turn our back or not be interested and not want to support returning vets who come home.
Well,
and that's kind of really sad.
Dramil, is that your experience? Is there a sense of isolation from the civilian population because you're in the military and that your associations are strictly, not strictly, but primarily military?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't see it as much outside of a military town, you know, but being in a military town, you know, you get a lot of old soldiers, old vets, and they know what you're going through. They know. And as fortunate, I mean, I could go to the DMV and I'm in uniform. I mean, there's never been a time where someone didn't come up and say, "I thank you for your service. I thank you for your service." And that warms the heart, you know, that lets you know that you appreciate it. But there are certain times and instances to where you're going to get that, you know. But that's when you turn to, you know, the people you serve with.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask both you and George. I won't call it a test, but one of the measurements of your of a commitment to the military is whether or not you want your son to go. George, if you had a son, or I don't know if you do or don't, would you want him to go?
Yes.
Or daughter, for that matter.
Most definitely. I think all of us should pay some homage to our country. And the military is, I can't think of no better place than to go into the military and give or make some sacrifice for this great country we live in.
Jermell, would you want your son or daughter to go?
It would be an honor to reenact that whole scene that my grandfather did for me.
Really? That's interesting. Yvonne, is that what you're finding? That those who went, the veterans, are in support of their families going? And is that how the military continues to restock itself, through families that have passed down membership in the armed services from generation to generation?
Well, actually, no. I've mostly found that, especially in the more recent conflicts, you know, Gulf War I and Iraq, that the vets, you know, are really not as keen on even going back themselves for the third time, and they wouldn't want their children to be involved in it. I think that they're sort of rethinking, you know, sort of the whole dynamic that got us into this situation to begin with. And with the older vets I interviewed, the World War II, the Korea, I mean, there's much more of a feeling of nostalgia and warmth about, you know, what they accomplished, you know, how I really do believe that generation made it possible for me to have the things that I have in my life. I think they're the ones who started the civil rights movement. But, I mean, I actually know it's like, I find that a lot of the vets, you know, they want, they're working hard so that their kids can have as much as, you know, can go to college and do big things. And so, I mean, I really admire the guests on the show and their experiences. And it's actually very inspiring to hear.
One of the themes of this conversation is whether or not the military is an economic stepping stone or a socioeconomic stepping stone. I'm going to ask all three of you as we bring the conversation to a close. First, for you, George, is it an economic, a socioeconomic stepping stone for African Americans, the military?
I most definitely think so, because of several reasons. One, the discipline that you learn in the military transforms into something great into the workplace. In my case, I was disabled in the military and came out and went to school under Chapter 32, a vocational rehabilitation program in the Department of Veterans Affairs, which I think is a great program. And for the Department of Veterans Affairs to pay for your tuition, how could I not go into the military? And of course, you know, as a person that has an education tends to make more money than people without education. So therefore, I feel that the military can be and is a great stepping stone for African Americans.
I got less than a minute now for you, Brumell, to tell us whether or not you find that that concept works, that military is a stepping stone to improve your life socially and economically.
Definitely. I agree with that 100%. I mean, I've been over 35 countries, you know, and seen the world. And that wouldn't have happened had I never raised my right hand, stated my name, and swore to protect the U.S. Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Well, Yvonne, you get the final word. And it seems from what you have said that some believe that and some veterans don't. Is that fair?
I think if you're serving in the Iraq war right now, I think it's difficult to feel that way if you're coming home with post-traumatic stress or are an amputee. I think, yes, traditionally, if you join the military, you can get a college education, you can get the discipline, you can change your life, get a new life. But right now, the way things stand, I have talked to so many vets who are struggling with getting any benefit at all for post-traumatic stress, who can't work, who are hitting their wives, who are freaking out all the time.
I've got to stop you there. Unfortunately, our time has run out. I apologize for that. Yvonne, thank you very much. George Brumell, I appreciate having you on.